here
are attending their first Japa retreat. Wow. Okay, you're... Thank you. You're in for a great adventure, particularly today. We have big bears in the forest, so if you go for a Japa walk, you better be able to run fast. But no, that's not the special surprise. For many, because I've conducted a number of Japa retreats, for many, those who are attending for the first time, their quantity and quality of chanting just takes off. And a lot, of course, depends on how well you rested last night. And even there's one young devotee in the Chicago community who, from the time that he was 5 years old, then 6 years old, then 7 years old, he couldn't sleep at night. The night before we had our, we called it 32 round day because it was only half a day, but he wanted to do 64 rounds. So he rested for 2.5 hours and was up and chanting, and he woke his parents up. Let's go to Mangalarti. How many rounds have you chanted? I've chanted 32 rounds already. Let's go to Mangalarti. And every year, since 5 years old, he's been chanting 64 rounds. Just, the very special synergy that comes from coming together. My thoughts are scanning quickly over some other people that I remember one. The first year, I think it was the first year, 1 year that we had a Japa retreat here in Seattle. At the end, tomorrow morning, we'll invite you to share what your experience was today. So one time it was, the first hand up was a lady with a baby in her lap. And her sharing was, I came along with my husband because he likes chanting and I've got this little child, so I really have never chanted before. So I was sitting here thinking, well, the child is asleep. Maybe someone can show me how to hold the beads. She never held beads before and never had her hand in a bead bag. So someone showed her how to hold the beads in the bead bag and chant. That she was sharing her experience. And just being in the company of all the devotees, I thought, well, let me give it a try. And zoom, zoom, I chanted 16 rounds. First time. I thought, well, that was pretty easy. Maybe I can chant another 16 rounds. She chanted another 16 rounds. I thought, wow, that was easy. Maybe I'll chant some more. Then the baby woke up and that was it. But, from zero to 32 rounds with a baby on her lap. So, for those of you that don't have babies on your lap, 64 rounds. No problem. No problem. In the association of devotees, like-minded souls, it's easy. So as I said yesterday, some of you weren't here in the morning. Ideal, this is just like a little pep talk to, get everybody nice and focused. Let us stay together as much as we can. Meaning, this isn't Seattle. We're in Vrindavan. the sun's up and no clouds in the sky. No clouds in the sky. This is Vrindavan. So the first day, the theme, from my perspective at least, is preparing you all to enter Vrindavan. So to enter Vrindavan, which is the abode of Krishna, which is made of Vishuddha Sattva. Vishuddha Sattva means unmixed goodness. One has to be pure to enter the abode of unmixed goodness, Vishuddha Sattva. And our means of that is chanting. So Kartik comes, you know, October, November, and it's just middle of June, so we have some preparation time. And this is the launching pad for the beginning of the summer to get ready to become qualified to enter Vrindavan. Not just buy a ticket and go and visit, but enter consciousness-wise, come in direct contact with, by a pure heart in a prayerful mood, the personality of Godhood whose abode is Vrindavan. And in case I forget, I'm going to say it now because I think I will forget. There's one rule and one piece of advice that I'd like to invite all of you to observe. One, the rule is Mona. In case you don't know what that means, if you have children, you can, you know, quietly instruct your children something. And other than that, you know, from the time that we end class, you'll find it will help controlling this thing, the tongue, like when you go to take prasadam, or we get up for after the class, it's not conversation, it's the holy name. You go to take prasadam, it's the holy name. And you finish prasadam, it's the holy name. Until you've completed your 64 rounds or 128 rounds or whatever you plan to do today. You laugh, but, you know, one devotee, I won't mention his name because he was just sharing this with me, but we had one japa retreat. He chanted 98 rounds, and the most recent one he attended was 154 rounds. And this is a busy person, a temple president, 154 rounds. Because, you know, he got up really early, and he chanted a lot really early, you know, but it was, anyway. So however many rounds you plan to chant, Mona, and that's like a rule. Now here's the advice. Don't have a big breakfast. Eat light. Eat something. But eat light, because my experience is a big breakfast makes it hard to chant after breakfast. That's my experience, and, you know, and having shared with others. And I'm sure that I don't want to discourage our cooks, but, you know, the children can eat as much as they like. They just run around and it's gone. So, entering Vrindavan. So I want to read from a little passage, parts of a passage from Brihat Bhagavatamrita, part 2, which Gopal Kumar, who is a cowherd boy from Vrindavan, and he's being prepared by the residents of Vaikuntha to go to Vaikuntha. So the location is, he's already beyond the coverings of the universe, which are very fascinating coverings. And then he enters into the vastness of the spiritual sky, and several things happen, and he sees these beautiful featured persons descending from some higher region, as Vrindavan, to enter into the universe, basically going on Sankirtan, like, you know, to preach the glories of the Lord, to invite living entities in this dark place to go to the kingdom of God. And to do that, to prepare him to go to the spiritual world, they recommend that he goes first to Vrindavan and chants his mantra very, very nicely. And before Gopal Kumar, he's like the main character, before he got to that place beyond the universe, he went to the planetary systems one by one by one. And one of the places he went to, just below the topmost planet in the universe, Brahmaloka or Satyaloka, is a place called Tapa Loka. Tapa, austerity, tapasya. Tapaloka. And the residents of Tapaloka, there is no householders allowed in Tapaloka. It's brahmacharis and sannyasis only. But I'll tell you what it's like there. It's from Brihad Bhagavatamrita. They mainly do two things. Mainly it's one thing and a secondary thing. They're meditation fans. And the reason they're meditation fans is they're so absorbed in meditation by their pure consciousness that they, in their trance of meditation, like Dhruva, who was seeing the form of the Lord within his heart, in trance, they're in ecstatic trance. They don't want to stop meditating because they're seeing the form of the Lord in their heart. And after a long time, they take a little meditation break and then discuss philosophical topics from the Vedas. And their discussions are really high. And then they take a little prasadam and they go back and meditate. They didn't eat too much. They can stay in meditation. And that's Tapaloka. So when Gopakumar went to Tapaloka, Pippalayana Rishi, these Navayogendras, those of you that know the Bhagavatam from the 11th canto, the nine Yogendras and are instructing King Nimi. You're familiar? Some of you? And Pippalayana Rishi is one of them, and he's instructing Gopakumar, why are you running around looking for Madan Gopal? Just meditate. He's right inside your heart. We'll show you how to do it. You don't have to look anymore. We're running here and running there and looking for Madan Gopal. Just sit down and meditate. And he'd give all their reasons why. It's, you know, so compelling that Gopakumar just sits down and does his meditation and he sees Madan Gopal in his heart. And he's very happy. And then there's always a but. But it's not the same. And, you know, so he leaves Tapaloka, goes to Brahmaloka, goes beyond Brahmaloka through the coverings of the universe into the spiritual sky. Now he's hearing from the Vaikuntha residents to go to Vaikuntha, the kingdom of God. And they have a little discussion with him. They knew that he didn't stay in Tapaloka. He heard this discussion about meditation. But he continued. And so now they're going to give another side of the story. The superiority of chanting to simply meditating on the form of the Lord. The superiority of chanting to meditation upon the form of the Lord. So, like yesterday, these prayers by Haridas Thakur about remembering the Lord and remembering the Lord's devotees and the glories, the scriptures are filled with the glories of remembering the personality of Godhead. Krishna says it twice in Bhagavad Gita, Manmana, always think of me. And through bringing the mind to the personality of Godhead, you can achieve spiritual perfection. Certainly it's one of the nine processes. Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam. So always remember Krishna. Never forget Krishna. You know that teaching? This is, of all the processes of bhakti mentioned in Nectar Devotion, they're all in pursuance of one thing. Correct? And that one thing is always remember Krishna. And then it's prohibition. Never forget Krishna. Smartavya satatam vishnur na smartavya na jata chit. Always remember Krishna, never forget Krishna. All the vidhis, the rules and regulations of bhakti are in pursuance of this one thing, remembrance of Krishna. So there's this, I invite you to read it when you have some contemplative time. It's Brihad Bhagavatamrita, second part, chapter 3, and it goes from around text 144 to 184. So it's a long section. Long section. Comparing, like compare-contrast kind of approach. Meditation and chanting. And the Vishnu Dutas essentially are saying, both are good. They also say, chanting is better. And then they say that they're actually one. Because chanting, the goal of, we mentioned this yesterday, the goal of chanting is more chanting. Prabhupada taught us that. Very simple teaching. What's the goal of chanting? More chanting. And along with that more chanting, it's a subset of that more chanting is always remembering Krishna. But the goal is not just, okay, now I remember Krishna, I can stop chanting. No. Always remember Krishna while chanting. So our problem is we're chanting but not remembering Krishna because our mind is all over the place. And if we try to do meditation without chanting, it'd be even worse. Mind all over the place. But if we follow, if we follow the process of chanting, many nice things happen. I'll read, but I'm just doing a quick summary. Many nice things happen because the mind is the king of all the senses. There's 5 knowledge-acquiring senses, 5 working senses in the mind. That 5 plus 5 plus 1 is 11. And the mind is chief. It rules like the king or like a central switchboard. Many years ago, before they have all the technology that they have today, I visited an office in Manhattan where they had one of the employees was a switchboard operator. I'd never seen it before. So a light would go on, and, you know, she, one moment, please, and she, you know, disconnect somebody and plug a prong into where the light was, and then...
You'd like to speak to so-and-so. And then she'd take another wire and plug it into the extension in somebody's office they wanted to speak to. And there's, like, these lights going on, and she was just connecting wires. So, you know, this person over there can connect with that person over there because of the central switchboard. It's like the mind. Here comes this information from the sense that says, I'm thirsty. And then the information goes to the mind, and then the karmendriyas, okay, legs go over there and turn the faucet hands and then get the water and bring it over to, okay. So it's like the central switchboard. Only it's not just information, it's like, it's stored, the memory is stored. And the mind is carrying around all this information that sometimes we can't access to because we have faulty memories. But it's stored. And it's not only stored as information, but it's also impressions that then cause further desires and further actions. It's necessary for karma, you know, for action. And it's also necessary for reaping the reaction of our past actions because it's all stored here. And we may not remember it, but it's there. And Krishna is the supreme, and he's the, as super soul, you know, he's super switchboard operator. He has all information about all living entities from all time and all time, like time this way, that way, and all space. He's got a big hard drive. And bringing the mind to Krishna just by meditation, well, it takes a very, very qualified person to do that. And we know from scripture in this age, that's not recommended. In Satya Yuga, possible. But even in Satya Yuga, please consider, when Dhruva was doing his practice of meditation, he also had a mantra. Yes, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Through sound vibration. So this is, I'm just going to read a few sections. that will appreciate what we're about to do today and what we're doing, you know, as devotees generally, chanting Krishna's holy name and striving for purity, because you have to be pure to enter Vrindavan. Enter Vrindavan. You can go on the surface and not enter, but to enter Vrindavan, purity is required. So, the context you have, it's the Vishnu Dutas speaking to Gopal Kumar, and they're speaking about the residents of Tapaloka spoke about meditation. So it's referring to things that they said. And what other meditation fans, what they say about meditation. And they're not saying, oh, it's, you know, throw it in the garbage. There's hundreds and hundreds, abundance of scriptural references that glorify remembrance of the Lord. So they're not negating it. But there's a superior position to the process of chanting the holy name, especially for this age. So, we'll start with text 158. Of the many ways to chant Krishna's glories, foremost, this is holy, is his Nama Sankirtan. It is deemed the best because it can evoke at once the treasure of pure love for Krishna. Commentary. So this is Sanatan Goswami writing, and then later he wrote a commentary on what he wrote. So we're reading the translation of his commentary. Besides Nama Sankirtan, chanting of the Lord's names, there are other ways of performing kirtan, such as reciting the Vedas and Puranas, speaking one's own narrations of pastimes of the Lord, singing devotional songs, and offering prayers. Nama Sankirtan, however, is the best of all because it can at once independently awaken love of God in the heart. Lord Vishnu's messengers are personally convinced of this, and as implied by the unspecific expression matram, or it is considered, it is also the opinion of many other scriptural authorities. Text 159. When relished with love, in countless ways throughout, through service rendered constantly by the tongue, the nectar of Sri Krishna's name delights the heart. Who can describe the unequaled excellence of that nectar of Sri Krishna's holy name? And those of you that are familiar with Chaitanya Charitamrita know that as Sanatana Goswami wrote like this, Rupa Goswami wrote the introductory verse to his two dramas, Vidagdha Madhava and Lalita Madhava. Same. And it goes like this. It's very beautiful. Who can say how much nectar is found in these two syllables, Krishna? For when the tongue chants the name, you can meditate like this. I meditate on this sometimes when chanting. So you focus on vibrating the sound. How much nectar is on the two syllables Krishna? Who can say? When the tongue is chanting Krishna's name, literally Krishna is dancing on one's tongue. And one desires to have hundreds of tongues. And then that sound, when entering the ears, produces so much nectar that one desires millions of ears. Like eagerness to hear. And then, when that sound vibration enters into the chamber of the heart, the mind becomes motionless, inert. And such a joy erupts in the heart. Who can say how much nectar is in these two syllables, Krishna. Just from chanting, if we chant properly. Small thing, just chant properly. Text 162. It's not in sequence, I'm skipping. When the nectar of the Lord's holy name appears in just one sense, all the senses are flooded with their own sweet tastes. He's described, we engage the tongue and the ear, but because it also goes to the mind, and the mind is the central switchboard, all the senses also become controlled. There's a nice verse again, companion verse by Rupa Goswami. Atakshi Krishna Namadi Nabhaved Grayam Indriyai Sevan Mukihi Jiva Dao Swayameva Svaratyada. Essentially, it means realizing the personality of Godhead factually is very difficult. But it's possible by controlling one of the senses, namely the tongue. And when one can control the tongue, one can control the other senses. And by controlling the senses, the mind becomes inert phenomena. Instead of chanchala, it becomes stunned with the nectar of Krishna's holy name. When we're actually... the trick is... The responsibility, the duty, the exercise is to bring the mind to Krishna, manmana. But that form of Krishna in his holy name is everything. Harer nam eva kevalam. The holy name is everything. So the sweetness of Krishna, the sweetness of Vrindavan, the Madhurya feature of Vrindavan is accessible in Krishna's name, especially when we're receiving it from, as we're receiving it from, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and the line of disciplic succession from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. We're receiving the holy name in that way. The gift of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu of love, as the residents of Vrindavan experience love for Krishna, is within the name that we're chanting. Everything is there from Krishna's side. We just have to have our receivers on instead of off. Or like we were discussing yesterday, facing Krishna rather than your back is to Krishna while chanting. Just turn and face Krishna. Bring your attention to Krishna. That's all. The difficulty is we're conditioned. We're like looking at the material energy as the enjoyers of the material energy through false ego. Be the enjoyers of the material energy. Like that little saying, are we having fun yet? Because that's the game, is having fun. Not Krishna's happiness, but our happiness. And it never happens. But when there's Krishna's happiness, then it happens. Then you don't have to ask the question. Are we having fun yet? Krishna's happiness fills one. And text 163. Appearing mainly in the sense of speech, the Lord's name gives pleasure to the chanter and to others. So, even greater than meditation on the Lord is his Nama Sankirtan. When we're chanting our 64 rounds and completing them, we're sitting here together. Imagine if we were just a room full of people meditating. I guess there's some energy with people meditating. But when they're the room full of devotees chanting Krishna's name, It's very powerful to keep one in the flow of chanting Krishna's name. somebody gave me a little PowerPoint thing to teach children about becoming like geese. And one of the slides is what happens when the geese fly in a V formation. And that's, you know, there's one person, or one goose, I guess, that's leading the other geese. And the one in the lead quacks. Whatever, they make a goose sound. Quack, quack, quack. And as the lead goose quacks, the others quack, 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 and they just keep going. And if one falls out of formation, then someone rescues the one that falls out of formation and helps them come back to the formation just by continuing the V formation and quack, quack, quack. So, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. Stay in the association of chanters of the holy name and you'll get spiritual strength just from being in the company of those that are chanting the holy name. And if you've been to a japa retreat, you'll know what I'm speaking about. And those of you that's the first time, stay here and you'll find out. There's a lot of strength that comes from not only kirtan with musical instruments, but also japa together. And by the way, this Nama Sankirtan, there's some explicit verse, I was looking for it. It's not only the musical Sankirtan, it's japa. And especially when we're doing what we're doing. Chanting the holy name with others. Text 164. The Sankirtan of Krishna's names is praised as the best and the most powerful means to attain the treasure of Krishna Prema. It is like a potent mantra that can attract precious objects from a distance. Long purport, I'll just read a little of it. Commentary. If one wants the ultimate success in spiritual life, one must take shelter of Nama Sankirtan, as the Vaikuntha Dutas proclaim exuberantly in this verse. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11, Chapter 2, describes how Nama Sankirtan nourishes the devotee. Here's the translation. An intelligent person who has controlled his mind and conquered fear should give up all attachment to material objects, lists them. The holy name of Krishna is all auspicious because it describes his transcendental birth and activities which he performs within the world for the salvation of the conditioned souls. Thus, the holy names of the Lord are sung throughout the world. And so it's just in the name, and the potencies, the glories of the Lord, everything is within the name. So it's like, you know, carrying around Srimad Bhagavatam in a little capsule form. The name. And then, you know, there's the Srimad Bhagavatam in the expanded form. But everything there is within the name, is the message. All of Krishna's glories, everything, very compact system. By chanting the holy name of the Supreme Lord, one comes to the stage of love of Godhead. Then, fixed in one's vow as an eternal servant of the Lord, one gradually becomes very much attached to a particular name and form of the Lord, as one's heart melts with ecstatic love. One laughs very loudly or cries or shouts. So if someone starts shouting, don't worry. They've attained a very elevated state. Maybe that won't happen. Sometimes one sings and dances like a madman, for one is indifferent to public opinion. Lord Chaitanya cited this verse, when Lord Chaitanya went back to his spiritual master, Ishwara Puri, saying, I think I'm doing something wrong in my chanting because you gave me the holy name. And, you know, these things start happening, like jumping up and down and rolling on the ground and crying out loud. And I think I'm going crazy. I'm like, what am I doing wrong? I said, oh, my dear disciple, this is wonderful. You've achieved the fruit and of the chanting very quickly. And he cited this verse, text 165, because Nama Sankirtan invariably, just keep chanting. Sometimes during your 64-round day, there's stretches where it's kind of normal. Sometimes it's like really, really nice. But sometimes it's really tough. We call it hills and valleys. Don't worry. If you're in a valley, you're in good company. And it's purifying because the holy name is supremely pure. So you're getting purified. Don't worry. Stay with it. Because Nama Sankirtan invariably leads to the treasure of pure love for the Lord. Therefore, true connoisseurs of devotional service consider Nama Sankirtan the very fruit of bhakti. In other words, chanting leads to more chanting. Or chanting leads to chanting purely. Especially if you're striving with faith. Small commodity of exchange is faith. We're here because there's some faith. And in the association of others, you'll see your faith will grow. But it's that's what we give in exchange for love of God, is our faith in the holy name. Bhaktivinoda Thakur wrote a whole song describing this. Now I'm just going to read two other verses, and we'll get back to our 64 rounds. Text 173. By the power of bhakti, you will have many realizations, time and again, and for certain you will conquer your most formidable obstacles. We mentioned one really formidable one yesterday, false ego. But it's not that we conquer, it's Krishna uproots it. That's the good news. Because if we had to conquer, we'd lose. But Krishna can. He's all-powerful. In all circumstances, be assured, we are your helpers. This is the Vishnu Dut, same thing that we read yesterday. Same thing, where the Vishnu Dutas are speaking to the Yama Dutas, saying, Lord Vishnu sent us on a mission because he heard Jamila calling his name and he felt, oh, he's calling my name. Now I'm duty bound to rescue him and rescue him not just from the Yama Dutas, but rescue him from the material circumstances of life, the root of which is our false ego. So stay with it, and you'll find part of the struggle, like a big one, is the false ego, as well as the mind, are two of our best friends, false ego and the mind, that always want to drag us here and over there, instead of, you know, Krishna. Anything but Krishna. You want to go to Krishna? Let's go over there. No, not Krishna. Something else, but not Krishna. So the false ego is rebellious, and the mind is all over the place. Stay with the holy name, faithfully. And the Vishnu Dutas are saying, we, in all circumstances, whether it's a hill or a valley, in all circumstances, no, be assured, we are your helpers. We're not alone. That was part of the message of yesterday. not just your effort, but it's the sending mercy of Krishna and Krishna's devotees, Krishna's messengers. The purport reads, since devotees may have to endure formidable tests while practicing Nang Sankirtan, Gopakumar may doubt his own fitness to take up the process. We might also. The visitors from Vaikuntha assured him, therefore, that he should not be doubtful and hesitant, but should begin Nam Sankirtan with all confidence. If he is worried that he cannot expect to succeed without the blessings of pure devotees, he should rest assured that the Vaikuntha Dutas will always be there to help him wherever he goes. If he needs to understand anything philosophically or has any difficulties to overcome, they will give him the support he needs. Whew. Reassuring. And the last verse, this is the last of the whole section, text 184, is the summary verse. Dearer to the Lord than even his own beautiful form, his easily worshipped holy name benefits the entire world. Indeed, nothing is as full of nectar as the holy name of the Lord. Commentary. In conclusion, the Vaikuntha Dutas say that they seize every opportunity to glorify Sri Bhagavan Nang Sankirtan. Sankirtan is all attractive, full with all power, beauty, and opulence. It exerts its powerful influence over anyone who takes part in it, anywhere and any time. The Lord of Vaikuntha himself is more attracted to his holy name than to his own supreme beauty. And there's nice quotes where Krishna says the same thing to Uddhava in the Uddhava Gita. The holy name of the Lord is incomparable. Nothing else can surpass or equal it. The holy name is the Lord's supreme blessing for the world's welfare, benefiting everyone, properly qualified or not, who serves it with any of the senses. It is easily worshipped, requires only some movement of the lips and tongue. And it is sa, rasa, or full of rasa, a term that can be understood in several ways. So it describes this, how the holy name is filled with rasa. I'll stop so we can get to chanting. These are just some very nice words by Sanatana Goswami to inspire us, to support us and help us in our wonderful journey. May you have a nice ride. And even if it's a valley instead of a hill or a mountain, even if it's very dry, don't worry. Krishna is there, and your heart is becoming purified. I'm thinking now of different chapel retreats and devotees sharing, oh, so difficult. And of many, so wonderful. So don't have an expectation, it's going to be wonderful, and I don't want it to be difficult. Or I'm ready for, just be with Krishna. Hold the hand of Nama Prabhu and go wherever he wants you to go. It's purifying, uplifting, enlivening. The result is Krishna Loka. The result is continue like that, and you become then eligible to enter into Vrindavan, enter into Krishna's sacred abode with him. And he's all loving. He's all kind, and it's the journey that's worth taking. So, have a nice journey. And